Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, for joining us for another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host. This is Seth. You're listening to the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. think that bears repeating. You are listening to the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. And I'm Seth, Irene's son, Caleb and Natalie's Booker daughter. And we're just going to talk about family tonight. We try to do this every single Sunday night. And just a lot of things going in the family. A lot of things happened this week. A lot of celebrations, a lot of events. I'm sure there's a lot of a little bit of everything that happened this week, like as in any family. But we'll talk about that. And then coming up this week, there's a lot ahead of us. So we'll talk about that in a minute. I am going to give the family a little bit more time to stop by. I just returned from a birthday party for Miss Brooklyn, which is Celeste's daughter. Celeste is Tanya's daughter, Brooklyn's grandmother, and then, of course, Tanya is Irene's daughter. We say that because we want everybody to know who's related to who. So I know y'all might get a little tired of the repetitious, but we want to make sure everybody know who everybody is. So again, as the song says in the background, tonight is going to be a good, good night. Informative night. Okay? Tonight we're going to have on, we're going to bring on the one and only Donald Shaw. Some people know him as Don. Some people know him as Don Jr. And some people even know him as Reverend Shaw. So we'll talk to Donald Jr. tonight. And we'll see what's on his mind. He will be the guest that will be spotlighted tonight. So I told y'all earlier that we was going to start off with spotlighting the elders of the family. And Don, to some young people, definitely is an elder. But we was going to start off with the older people and work all the way down to the young people, and that's what we're trying to do. And I think it's going to be exciting when we get down all the way to where we've interviewed everybody in the family. And then nobody will be strangers to each other. I mean, you know, we're not going to know everything about each other. You can't, of course, cover everything in the time on this show. But this is just a gesture, an idea, to just bring the family a little closer. It's all it is. It's not Seth's show. It's your show. It's our family and friends, the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. We are trying to network with each other. Yes, we talk about birthdays and anniversaries and all of this, but we also talk about networking. So tonight, we're going to do a little networking. Okay? So you might want to have your pencil and pen handy, notepads handy, maybe your tape recorders, because you're going to hear some things that you will like repeated. But always remember, all the shows are archived. So if you happen to miss the show or you have to step out and you don't quite hear the whole show, you can always rewind when you listen in the archives, okay? You can listen in the archives and rewind and stop and pause and all that good stuff, okay? And somebody asked me to repeat the numbers, the phone number. Those of you on the internet, if you just look at the screen, that the links that I sent you, you'll see the phone number in the upper left-hand corner. It is 760-283-0838. So if you're on the internet and you want to call in and make a comment, remember, once you call in, you definitely have to press 1. You definitely have to press 1. And if you don't, if you're not calling in and you just want to listen over your computer, you can do that by going to www. Now, this is for those folks that have the phone number, but you don't have the website. You just listen on the phone and you want to actually find it on the internet to look at the slideshow that goes along with the program. that goes along with what you're hearing over the cell phone. So you want to go to the internet, www.blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/5, then underscore, not a dash, but an underscore, smooth underscore stones. That's 5 smooth stones. The underscore is going to separate the words. Okay? So go there and you can listen online through your computer and even chat if you would just give Blog Talk a little bit of information, such as your email and screen name. So, like I said earlier, I'm giving the family a little bit more time to come, and we'll just start off by playing some very important commercials that I think the family would appreciate, and hopefully they'll look into these some very good products, and I think it'll make all of us a little bit healthier. So check this out, and we'll be right back.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has 0 toxicity and it's safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Hope y'all take advantage of those products. Call the go to the different website, Hemp Hill, and the other websites listed there. Please, good products. We need to be healthier. This is not just for the old people. Iodine is good for all humans, okay? Got to throw it in there. I just got to throw it in there. Some good people, good products. You don't have to worry about getting ripped off. All right, so anyway, again, thank y'all for joining to the show, stopping by, checking us out. Like I said, we have a lot of events going on this week, and a lot of events happening next week, and hopefully some people will call in and give me some help with the different things happening because I don't know everything. I do want to do one thing, though, that I failed to do last week. I didn't mention, and I know it's been a while, it's been a real while. Actually, it was on the 11th of February, and they told me they had an anniversary, and I forgot. Even though it's late, I feel like it's nothing more than to say to Kevin and Nick, let them know, wish them a happy anniversary. Okay, this goes out to Kevin and Nix. I apologize. I know you told me, Kevin, you just slipped my mind, so I do want to wish y'all a happy anniversary. It's always good to, you know, marriage is a good thing. So we'll play a little bit of this for Kevin and Nix, and then I'll be back with you, and hopefully they'll give some of y'all cousins and brothers and mothers and fathers, time to get into the show. Got a few people, but we're trying to wait on a little bit more. But Kevin Nix, this is for y'all, okay? Just a little bit of that. I'll just let a little bit of that play. But again, this is for Kevin and Nix. I know some of y'all saying, who is Kevin? Who is Nix? And when I say Nix, you spell that N-Y-X. Everybody always saying, what are you saying? When, you know, but it's Nix. Kevin and Nix had an anniversary earlier, and because last week, and I just dropped the ball and playing it for them. So just want to let them know. And Kevin is Moppy's son, or Verna's son. Verna is, again, Irene, another one of Irene's children, okay? And the rest of the family is having anniversaries and birthdays and whatever. Y'all got to just let me know. I mean, I'm all over Facebook. I'm not all over Facebook, but I'm in one location, and I send emails weekly. So y'all just let me know, okay? And this is for. We'll give a shout-out to them. Just that simple. But marriage is definitely honorable, and we always encourage, especially black folks, because for some reason people is not seeming to value marriage like we used to. So anyway, happy anniversary, okay? I also wanted to share something with the family. You know, there's a lot that we keep hearing is happening in our world. Actually, I'll do this a little later on. I think I'll just wait to do that a little later on. But I want to share with y'all a little later on audio about some things coming up very, very soon. I mean, this is hardcore stuff. This is some real stuff that is going to be facing our families in a little bit. This ain't no conspiracy theories. All you got to do is just listen to any of the economists, respected economists in the world, and you will hear them saying the exact thing. Or you can listen to your minister, because a lot of the ministers know what time it is. And so this is a little clip I was going to play. We'll do a little later on about that. Okay, so again, this is just a warning to the family to get your stuff together because of what is about to happen. And any good friend or any good family member will warn somebody they love if they see danger approaching. So that's all this audio clip is about, just simply trying to warn us, encourage us to do something different for what is about to come down the chute. And I don't mean whether or not you, this is anybody and everybody, you know, that's going to be affected by this. And this is what the Most High, I believe, is saying through the ministers as well as through the economists. And so we'll talk about that a little later on. But anyway, I just want to thank everybody, those of y'all that are in the chat room. I see some of y'all there. And those of you on the phone lines, I want to thank y'all for being on the phone lines. Again, if you have any question or comment, press 1 on your phone. And if you have any questions or comments and you're in the chat room, remember, just type in the question mark and your question, and we'll be glad to get that question answered or that comment made. Now, if we get busy, it's a little easier said than done. Y'all got to understand that. All right, but if not, we'll get to every one of y'all's questions or comments, especially y'all on the phone lines that'll be able to ask it out loud, okay? Now, a couple of reminders. Donna, my sister, is going to be doing her own show. It is coming. We're just working on what is, you know, we're still working on just show contents right now. Show contents right now and what day and all that. So this show is going to be a little different. Donna's show is going to be geared more towards what's happening right now in the lives of our kids, our young people, I should say, and resolutions around that. You know, Donna's going to be dealing with some real life issues with the young people in the family. Not that she's some great, got all the answers, but it's just a time to, sometimes these young people need to vent. And, of course, the challenge is going to be to keep it positive. Y'all know we have one rule, just one rule on this show, and that is to keep whatever you're doing upbeat and positive. So we're going to do that. Look forward to come, because this show right here is just designed pretty much to highlight the future for the first hour. The first hour goes to the future, what's happening in the future, letting family know about things that is going to be happening in the future, such as on a weekly basis, really, what's happening in terms of, you know, birthdays and anniversaries and meetings that the family might have, prayer requests that the family might have. Maybe there's someone sick and shut in and somebody want to call and let the family know about that. It can be something as simple even as a recipe you want to share with the family, or just anything you think your brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, mothers and fathers, cousins, nieces, nephews, and friends of the family, anything you want them to know that is going to help them spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and in every way. That is simply what this show is all about. So you do that the first hour. Again, we're looking at things that's happening pretty much in the future, what's happening now. And then the second hour is devoted to what has happened in the past, making things a little clearer about the past as it relates to our guests, whoever that may be. Today, that guest is Donald Shaw. Again, some people know him as Don. Some people know him as Donald Jr. Some people know him as Reverend Shaw. So he is our spotlighted guest today, and we'll hopefully hear from him about 10. He had a few things on his plate, but hopefully he can make this show. I just want to thank all of the previous guests, and I want to give you all a sample of some of how our first show went. You know, the first show we had with Uncle Bud, or I call him Uncle Bud, but some of y'all may know him as Caleb Booker. Want to play just a little bit about how that interview went, and to give you an idea of how far we have come in such a short time. This actually happened back in early November. This is Uncle Bud talking about his hobbies. Check this out.
Let me ask you this. Name a few hobbies you do. That really, really, really you like. If I say name the top things you'd enjoy doing, just give me top five things. You just really, I mean, if you became a wealthy man tomorrow, you'll still do these things. What is it?
Well, a lot of things I would do, I wouldn't have to be a wealthy man.
I hear you on that.
Like I used to take flying lessons, you know, and they were really cheap. You know, I could take the money that I was spending on a Friday night getting drunk to pay for my flying lesson Saturday. You know, that's how cheap it was. And even today, compared to other hobbies and stuff, flying lessons is very inexpensive.
Where did you fly?
Huh? I flew the single engine Cessna. You know, that's single engine. And
okay. How long did you take flying lessons?
I took about 5 weekends. Yeah, about 5 weekends. And I belong to this flying club. See, the thing about this flying club is the first time you sit in the plane, airplane, right, you take off. You're the one that's taking the plane up. You're the one that's flying the plane. Well, the instructor is sitting on side of you. Well, he's telling you what to do, but you start the first day in the plane. You're flying. And every time you go, you fly first. You get the flying thing down. You get so many flying hours in.
Okay. See? Some of y'all may know that Uncle Bud or Caleb Booker, Azalee and Caleb Booker's oldest son, who's named Caleb Jr., actually flew single-engine planes there for a second. Flying lessons, as he talked about. Here he is talking about hobbies. Just check this out. This was this is a couple of clips from the first show. Just to give y'all an idea, some of y'all hadn't listened to the previous shows. You're missing out. You are missing out. Again, the way you find these shows is you go to www.blogtalk.com. All ran together. www.blogtalk.com. Then you make a slash. The slash is going to be right there below the question mark. And then you type the word, the number 5, underscore, not a dash, underscore, smooth, underscore, stones. And you'll see all of the shows. Just move down to Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network, and you want to keep scrolling pages till you get to November and listen to the very first show, and I think that was November the 13th. Here is, on the same show, Caleb Booker talking about his hobbies. Check this out. It's a little short audio clip. Just to give you a sample of our first show.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Name a few hobbies you do. That really, really, really you like. If I say name the top things you'd enjoy doing, just give me top 5 things. You just really, if you became a wealthy man tomorrow, you'll still do these things. What is it?
Well, a lot of things I would do, I wouldn't have to be a wealthy man.
I hear you on that.
I used to take flying lessons, you know. And that was really cheap, you know. I could take the money that I was spending on a Friday night getting drunk to pay for my flying lesson Saturday. You know, that's how cheap it was. And even today, compared to other hobbies and stuff, flying lessons is very inexpensive.
Did you fly?
Huh? I flew the single-engine Cessna. You know, that's single-engine. And
How long did you take flying lessons?
I took about 5 weekends. Yeah, about 5 weekends. And I belong to this flying club. See, the thing about this flying club is the first time you sit in the plane, airplane, right, you take off. You're the one that's taking the plane up. You're the one that's flying the plane. Well, the instructor is sitting on side of you. Well, he's telling you what to do, but you start the first day in the plane. You're flying. And every time you go, you fly first. You get the flying thing down. You get so many flying hours in.
Now, I'm sorry, folks. I turned on the clip and walked away, and I didn't realize, I think I did the same clip. And this one's supposed to have been on politics. I apologize. Sorry about that.
Republican, independent.
Here's Uncle Bud talking about his political stance. I apologize for that, folks. I meant to type on his political views. But anyway, it's very interesting. Check this out. This is Uncle Bud talking about his political views. It's a very short clip, even shorter than the first one, just to give you an idea how the first show went.
Republican, independent, how you feel politically? What's your political stand on Obama? And just give me a quick nutshell of where you stand on everyday events with politics.
Well, I'm a Democrat, you know. Like, I've been a Democrat since I can remember Dwight Eisenhower.
Why?
Because, it appears to me that Democrats is for helping the poor, you know, poor people, and the, you know, less fortunate people of society. Okay, Republicans seem to be more interested in the wealth and the rich. You know, to me, I can't see that 10% of the world population, of the money, the economy of the world, belong to 10% of people. You know,
that's true.
So
actually. It's true, and that's what this whole Occupy Wall Street is all about. They're because 1% of America owns most of the wealth. I think 1%. I know 10% own 80% of the wealth. I know that, and I think 1%
right.
own like 60. It's pretty pathetic.
And the cool part about that, is 70% of the wealth was inherited. You see.
Y'all know that? Many of y'all probably saying, what? But that is very true. So you learn a little bit, and hold on 1 second here. I learned a little bit on that show, and also I was able to share some things with Uncle Bud, hopefully that he can go research. So very interesting interview. I enjoyed it. You know, Uncle Bud been away for a while in L.A., and it was just good to hear him talk about the past, you know, what he did in L.A. He talked a lot about history. I had no idea. I think him and I don't know who covered the most history out of all these people I've spoke with. Everybody had a different angle on history, and it was very interesting. So that's the benefit sorry about that, folks. That's the benefit I get being a talk show host here. I get to ask certain questions depending on what they say. And I ain't gonna lie, it's been a blessing. I mean, I know some of this is probably boring to some people because you don't have a need for it in your life right now. And maybe you don't want to talk to some of these people right now. Maybe it's just not your cup of tea right now. But trust me, one of these days you're going to want to know what made this particular relative click, or how did they become this, or how did this happen, or how did that happen? And you will find yourself looking for these very shows to get it straight from their mouth. So that is what this is all about. That's what Seth is trying to accomplish with these shows. And I really wish, it's going to be a shout out to the family. I really wish that y'all would really step up to the plate and make this happen even more. Some of y'all are excited about it. I know, because the weird thing is, after the show go off, we always get people to listen to it live, like right now. But then later on, after the show goes off, seems like that's when everybody listens. Because, I mean, we've got over 100, certain people have over 100 listens already. And I don't even know that many family members, I have that many emails. So I know some people listened more than once, and that's good. So anyway, also tonight I want to do something I haven't done before, and that is talk a little bit to the friends of the family. Please get involved with this show, because we need you. As in with any family, sometimes you have whatever. Only the Most High knows all of the different things that happen in family to make them not be as motivated as they should. While I'm glad that we've had all of these hits, which means somebody actually sit down and listen to the show, I'm so glad. We need participation. And sometime over the years, I've noticed sometimes friends of the family step up and do things to help this family in one way or the other. It's just the way it is probably with every family. So I'm encouraging, if you know this family, you know more than one person's family, you've been a friend to the family for a while, and you like, you know, the family, you know, the different members you have met, and you want to be a blessing, you want to share things, please call in. Please participate. We want to know about events that's happening. in your life as it relates to this family. So let us know, okay? While everybody may not know you, certain parts of the family do know you, and you can call in and let us know, hey, you know, I'm having this for my child, and this family member know who this person is, and this family member know. That's perfectly in order. We just want to network. And I'm not just meaning with parties. I mean with ideas. And some of y'all know about jobs, and some of y'all know have financial ideas that would help the family. And some of y'all have inspirational thoughts and inspirational just different things you want to share that would encourage anybody listening. So do that. Please do that. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, folks. And like I said, and then we're going to do some other things here. But like I said, for some time now, I call the show a network, change it to the word network, because we need to be networking. I mean, it don't even have to be about money. We need to be networking emotionally. Sometimes you need to know people got your back. Even if they don't have the finances to back you, you need to know that they even want you to succeed. And you need to know that they care about you and they thinking about you and they praying for you. That is emotional support. Well, actually, prayer can turn into whatever, you know, the Most High decides he's going to do. But I'm just saying we need emotional support. We need spiritual support. And, yes, we need financial support. We need our friends. We need our family. So this is just a simple reminder. If you're friends of the family, please feel comfortable to call the show and get involved. It's just that simple. Now, y'all heard a clipping of the last show, the first show, and I'm going to try to every week play a little bit of a previous show just to give you an idea of what you've been missing. Several people have been on this blog and have testified before they, seemed like everybody before they hung up said they really was blessed by it. So tonight we're going to have on Donald Jr. Some people know him as Donald Shaw. And so also Tasha, don't miss next week. Just a couple of words for next week. Next week we plan on, I'm going to try to tell y'all every single week what we're going to do next week so you have an idea. But next week, Tasha want to share some information about the colleges, what's going on with that. She have gotten some inside, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but Tasha's daughter, Gianna, goes to Guyer and Denton. And Tasha, I think she sits on a board that overlooked the funding for the students at this school. She sits on a board that overlooked the funding for this particular school, and that's a very important position because she hears a lot about scholarships. Now, listen, some of y'all younger people are in school, and you're looking for or going to be looking for scholarship money when you graduate. Do not miss next week. Tasha is going to call in, and she's going to let you know. You know them people up in Denton don't play. That scholarship land, that's, you know, all those, you know, folks try to hide money from other ethnic groups. And so she's in the know, and she'll be calling next week. Don't forget to check that out. Tell you anybody y'all know that needs scholarship money to listen to the show next week. Also, we will be spotlighting an elder next week. And I remember the definition of an elder, I give it, is anybody over 60. I mean, of course, you can be an elder at 40, really. But when we say elder, we mean my elders. We mean everybody's elder, okay? Somebody that when you mention their name, everybody can say, oh, they're the older. And that elder is no longer living. The elder is Monroe Howard. Monroe Howard is Linda's dad. He was Tina's dad. And, you know, he had two children by Aunt Naomi or Naomi Booker. And, of course, he's not here, right? So how in the world am I going to interview him? Amos is going to come back on the show again next week, who lived his whole life with Monroe. And Linda is going to join him. So it's going to be very interesting to hear two different people talking about one person. So they'll give their personal experiences, who he was, who Monroe was, how he contributed to the family, what kind of person he was, You know, Monroe, I'm not going to spill any secrets, but there's a lot of things that he accomplished that I didn't even know until funeral day. At his funeral, I heard all of these things. You know, at funerals, they normally say good things anyway, but, I mean, I really heard some concrete, hardcore evidence of things Monroe did. And we need to know. That's Linda's daddy. I mean, he's just as part of his family as anybody. You know, been in the family, know all mama and me, know all of the sisters and uncles of mine. So definitely, he is a part of this Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. Monroe Howard will be the spotlighted elder on next week by way of Amos Howard and Linda Booker. It'd be good to hear from Linda because we hadn't heard from her. We heard from Amos. And I really, really enjoyed the history lesson he took us, he had on the show. It definitely was a history lesson. So, again, those of y'all in the chat room, let me know if you have any questions or comments. And I want to play a clip now that I mentioned earlier. This is very, very important. This clip is very, very important to me. As you know, on this show, we try to educate as well as entertain. I have got this clip that's just burning inside of me. And now this clip is actually like, well, three parts. So this first part is going to be an introductory to this group, this research group. They're going to tell you who they are. And then you'll hear them say that this is a controversial audio. All they're saying is this audio is not going to be what you hear every day on CBS, ABC. And it's a very short clip, by the way. But I got to just keep my family in the know of what's going on. This research group is known all across the world. They ain't no fly by night. They ain't no conspiracy theories. They ain't hating America, nothing like that. These are educated people that companies look to for information about financial things. So even though you might not be a financial-minded person, you're going to appreciate this video. Guarantee you, you're going to appreciate this video. So let me play this by they call themselves the Stanberry Research Group. At least that's one of the names they go by. But they'll introduce themselves, and I want y'all to check this out, and then we'll finish up this three parts. We'll do one next week and then one the following week. Check this out. This is where we get into informing the family. Okay, here we go.
The following presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, my name is Porter Stansberry. A little over 10 years ago, I founded Stansberry & Associates Investment Research. It has become one of the largest and most recognized investment research companies in the world, serving hundreds of thousands of subscribers and more than 120 countries. You may know of our firm because of the work we did over the last several years helping investors avoid the big disasters associated with Wall Street's collapse. We warned investors to avoid Fannie and Freddie, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, and General Motors, and dozens of other companies that have since collapsed. We even helped their subscribers find opportunities to profit from these moves by shorting stocks and buying put options. To my knowledge, no other research firm in the world can match our record of correctly predicting the catastrophe that occurred in 2008. But that's not why I created this video. I reference our success and experience with Wall Street's latest crisis because we believe there is an even bigger crisis lurking, something that will shake the very foundation of America. And that is why I've spent a significant amount of time and money in the past few months preparing this video. In short, I want to talk about a specific event that will take place in America's very near future, which could actually bring our country and our way of life to a grinding halt. This looming crisis is related to the financial crisis of 2008, but it is infinitely more dangerous, as I'll explain in this video. As this problem comes to a head, I expect there to be riots in the streets, arrests on an unprecedented scale, and martial law enforced by the U.S. military. Believe me, I don't make this prediction lightly, and I have no interest in trying to scare you. I'm simply following my research to its logical conclusion. I did the same when I tracked Fannie and Freddie's accounting The same with General Motors, with Bear Stearns and the rest. And when I began giving this warning in 2006, no one took me very seriously, not at first. Back then, most mainstream commentators just ignored me. And when I presented my case and exposed the facts at economic conferences, they got angry. They couldn't refute my research, but they weren't ready to accept the enormity of its conclusions either. That's why, before I go any further, I have to warn you. What I'm going to say is controversial. It will offend many people, Democrats, Republicans, and Tea Parties alike. In fact, I've already received dozens of pieces of hate mail. And the ideas and the solutions I'm going to present might seem somewhat radical to you at first, perhaps even un-American. My guess is, as you watch this video, you'll say, there's no way that could really happen. Not here. But just remember, no one believed me 3 years ago when I said the world's largest mortgage bankers, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, would soon go bankrupt. And no one believed me when I said GM would soon be bankrupt as well, or that the same thing would happen to General Growth Properties, the biggest owner of mall property in America. But again, that's exactly what happened. And that brings us to today. The same financial problems I've been tracking from bank to bank, from company to company, for the last 5 years have now found their way into the U.S. Treasury. I'll explain how this came to be, and what it means is critically important to you and every American. The next phase in this crisis will threaten our very way of life. The savings of millions will be wiped out. This disaster will change your business and your work. It will dramatically affect your savings accounts, investments, and retirement. It will change everything about your normal way of life, where you vacation, where you send your kids or grandkids to school, how and where you shop, the way you protect your family and your home. I'll explain how I know these events are about to happen. You can decide for yourself if I'm full of hot air. As for me, I'm more certain about this looming crisis than I've been about anything else in my entire life. I know that debts don't just disappear. I know that bailouts have big consequences. And, unlike most of the pundits on TV, I know a lot about finance and accounting. Of course, the most important part of this situation is not what is happening, but rather what you can do about it. In other words, will you be prepared when the proverbial hits the fan? Don't worry, I'm not organizing a rally or demonstration, and I've turned down every request to run for political office. Instead, I want to show you exactly what strategies I'm using personally to protect and even grow my own money, and how you can prepare as well. You see, I can tell you with near 100% certainty that most Americans will not know what to do when commodity prices, things like milk, bread, and gasoline, soar. They won't know what to do when banks close and their credit cards stop working, or when they're not allowed to buy gold or foreign currencies, or when food stamps fail. In short, our way of life in America is about to change, I promise you. In this video, I'll show you exactly what's happening. You can challenge every single one of my facts, and you'll find that I'm right about each allegation I make. And then you can decide for yourself. Will you act now to protect yourself and your family from the catastrophe that's brewing right now in Washington, D.C.? I hope so. That's why I made this video. I'm going to walk you through exactly what I'm doing personally and what you can do as well. I can't promise you'll emerge from this crisis completely unharmed, but I can just about guarantee you'll be a lot better off than people who don't follow these simple steps. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up and show you in the simplest terms possible what is going on, why I'm so concerned, and what I believe will happen in the next 12 months. In short, I believe that we as Americans are about to see a major, major collapse in our national monetary system and our normal way of life. Basically, for many years now, our government has been borrowing so much money, very often using short-term loans, that very soon we will no longer be able to afford even the interest on these loans. Again, I say these things as an expert in accounting and financial research. You may not think things are that bad in the U.S. economy, but consider this simple fact from the National Inflation Association. Even if all U.S. citizens were taxed at 100% of their income, it would still not be enough to balance the federal budget. We'd still have to borrow money just to maintain the status quo. That's absolutely incredible, isn't it? Yet I've never seen this fact reported anywhere else. Normally, I study these kinds of numbers when I'm looking at a business to invest in or to recommend to my readers. But lately, I've spent most of my time looking into our national balance sheet, because as the banking system collapsed in 2008, all of the bad debts were absorbed by the world's governments. For example, when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac collapsed in the summer of 2008, the U.S. government responded by simply guaranteeing all of their outstanding debt. Since then, these companies have recorded hundreds of billions of losses, all of which were passed along to the government. Yes, you can still get mortgages today. And yes, Freddie and Fannie are still in business. But the costs associated with these programs are piling up at the U.S. Treasury, and they are enormously expensive. These losses and trillions in other private obligations are now the responsibility of the U.S. government. The problem is, even before this crisis, our government was deeply in debt. With each additional commitment, we sink further and further into debt, closing in upon the moment that we can simply no longer afford even the interest payments on our obligations. According to even my most conservative calculations, using numbers provided by the Congressional Budget Office, a debt default by the U.S. government would be inevitable were it not for one simple anomaly, the one thing that has saved the United States so far. I'm talking about our country's unique ability to simply print more money. You see, the U.S. government has one very important weapon to use in this crisis. The U.S. is the only debtor in the world who can legally print U.S. dollars. And the U.S. dollar is known as the world's reserve currency. The dollar forms the basis of the world's financial system. It is what banks around the world hold in reserve against their loans. That's a secret that most politicians don't understand. As things stand now, the U.S. government can't go broke in any ordinary sense of the word because it can simply print dollars to pay for its bad debts. That's what it's been doing since March of 2009. That might sound pretty good at first. Since we can always just print more money, what's there to worry about? Well, let me show you. You see, as things stand today, America is the only country in the world that doesn't have to pay for its imports in a foreign currency. Let's say you're a German and you want to buy oil from Saudi Arabia. You can't just pay for your oil in German marks or the new euro currency because oil is priced in U.S. dollars. So you have to buy dollars first, then you buy your oil. And that means the value of the German currency is of great importance to the German government. To maintain the value of its currency, Germans must produce at least as much as they consume from around the world. Otherwise, the value of its currency will begin to fall, causing prices to rise and its standard of living to decline. But in America, we can consume as much as we want without worrying about acquiring the money to pay for it, because our dollars are accepted everywhere around the world. In short, for decades now, we haven't had to produce anything or export anything to get all the dollars we needed to buy all the oil and other goods our country required. All we had to do was borrow the money. And boy, did we. Take a look at this chart. Even as late as the 1970s, America was the world's largest creditor. But by the mid-1980s, we'd become a debtor to the world. And since the late 1990s, we've been the world's largest debtor. Today, our government owes more money to more people than anyone else in the world. And that was before the financial crisis. In short, with all of these bad debts piling up.
Okay, I don't want to go too deep into it. I just wanted to kind of introduce that group to you. And like I said, every week, we'll just include just a little bit of that as far as a section of the show, which is really from about 9:45 to 10. Now, the book of business section of the show, what we call the book of business section of the show, where we call in. Lately, I've been playing these clips, these financial clips, the last 2 weeks. And, of course, last week we listened to the day the dollar died. And it's just very important to for us to start thinking about these kinds of stuff. Again, some of y'all young people listening, this probably is the furthest thing from your mind. And some of us older people, we probably don't think about it much, but it is, I guarantee you folks, a fact, family, that this is going to go down, and that is the U.S. dollar. Businessmen are committed to the money, not people. They don't love people. They love money. And they're doing business across the waters, and that is sinking this country deep and deeper into debt. So what does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to everyday living? What does that mean for paying your bills? What does it have to do with you and your family? It has everything to do with you and your family. If the value of all the money you got right in the bank just went down and it was half the value it is, that means everything you got right now would be cut in half. What do you think that would do to you if the prices stayed the same? That would put a lot of us, push a lot of us into poverty. Now, I know a lot of y'all believe in the Creator, and you know that the Father going to take care of you, and that is exactly what you should be doing. You should know that and trust in that and just believe that He is going to do it, and guess what? He will. However, many of us waver in our faith. We don't always believe. We don't always trust. We trust in jobs. We trust in working two jobs, overtime, telling the half-truths, you know, being a little deceptive here and there, just like the world do, just like anybody else do. Those people are the ones that's going to be hit the hardest, because this thing is coming. That's not a bad confession. This is a reality. As a matter of fact, it's already happening. And so a lot of people are pulling their money out of the U.S. dollar and putting it into other things. Now, there's another clip. I'm not going to play it today. I played it last week. If you want to hear the clip, listen to the show last week. I'm not going to overwhelm y'all with clips tonight. But there's another audio clip where I played last week where it talks about where exactly do you put your money. It talked about gold. It has a lot of information, a lot of great points about that. Some of y'all not investment minded. This is boring to you. I understand. But believe you me, when this thing starts happening, you know, don't try to run and do things at the last minute because it'll be too late. And this is what goes for me. I'm talking to myself right now. We got to start praying to the Most High, asking the Father, what should we do with this as the dollar becomes less and less? What is it? I know, and I can just hear family members saying, oh, that's so much over our head. Not over our head, but just irrelevant. You know, because some people feel like, oh, we don't have much, this, that. But no matter what you have, if it loses value, that means you're going to have even less. So just start thinking about some other things business-wise. Ask the Most High, what is it He would have you do about that? Simple and plain. Ask the Most High, what is it He would have you do about that? Now, I mentioned earlier at 10 o'clock on the hour, we were going to have Donald Shaw call in, as some of y'all know him by. Some of y'all know him by Don. Some of y'all know him by Reverend Shaw. But I believe he is in the house, and I'm going to go ahead and bring him on the phone lines. I just want to say to everybody listening, again, those of y'all in the chat room, if you have a question or a comment for Don, please just type it, and I will see the question. Before you type your question, type in the question mark and then type the question. That way I'll see it stand out. And if you're on the phone lines and you want to say hello to Don or hi or make a comment, do that. I'm not going to do like I did last year, pick on people and just go into a phone line without them asking me. It's kind of rude. Sometimes people just want to listen to the show and they do not want to reveal who they are. This week we're going to respect you. So if you don't press one on your phone, I'm not going to know. I'm not going to just go picking on somebody just to hear, you know, y'all say hello. So, okay. But anyway, I think let's do this. I think we got Don on the line. Let me just go ahead and open up the phone line and make sure this is him. Area code 817-370. Is this Don?
Yes, this is Don. How are you tonight?
All right, sir. All right, all right. Well, first of all, before I say another word, I just want to thank you for taking up my offer and coming on the show. I never take it for granted, even though you're family. You don't have to do it. You can be doing 1,000 other things. So I do appreciate you being our, I think, 11th guest
I think. So anyway, Don, like I said, folks, this is Don Shaw. Some of y'all know him as Reverend Shaw, Don Jr., just different names he go by. But I'm glad he's on the show tonight, and tonight we have a good time talking about whatever he want to talk about, his childhood, his teens, his adult years, or maybe even the future, what he's looking for, what he hopes to tell the family. Don, I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody, or ask, I should say, like I ask everybody that has been on the show, and that is, only rule we have, just have one little rule on the show, keep it positive. Keep it upbeat. Keep it good. Keep it upbeat. Keep it good. We don't want to hear nothing bad about nobody. So that's the only thing we ask every single person that has been on the show. Having said that, man, go ahead and say hello to the family. And this is another thing we ask everybody is tell us how you are related. Now, everybody should know who you are, but there's a lot of nieces and nephews. I don't know who these people is on this chat room. They going under the name of guests. I guess they don't want to go on Blog Talk and register where, you know, they want to be incognito. That's fine. I don't know who all is on the phone line. So we don't know who's listening. Could be young people. Could be older people. So just go ahead and introduce yourself and let everybody know how you are related to the great Caleb and Azalee Booker.
All right. For those who are in the audience, I am the grandson of Azalee Booker and Caleb Booker, who is my grandfather. And my mother is Reverend Robbie Slaughter. And Seth is my cousin. And I would like to say that I appreciate this opportunity to come on. I don't really know what to say other than I accept this invitation because I know he's trying to continue the ongoing of our family and our friends, and hopefully that we can, as blood relatives and friends, can have a positive outlook on each other.
Well, I appreciate that, Don. I really do, man. And like I say, this show always starts off kind of slow. Everybody don't know what to expect. What is he going to say? I'm not going to say nothing tonight. I'm going to let you just kind of lead me. I'll take that. Like, I will ask you some questions just to, because I'm sure people want to know, you know, different things like maybe what's your favorite color. I mean, asking simple little questions like that is done. You know, you do have a favorite color. You do have a favorite song. You do have a favorite pastime. That's why we ask that, so people can know you. Because sometimes we get guests on and we get so caught up into just different things. They quit talking about themselves, which is totally unselfish, and that's good. But we want you to be a little selfish tonight. We want to know about Donald Jr. What, you know, maybe some things that happened in your past that people would be blown away if they knew. Some, again, encouraging things, upbeat things, things that would give the Most High glory or make us laugh or, you know, just whatever, man. And you'll do good. You got that radio voice.
Well, I don't know
but
about
let me
all that.
Let me say this about, before Don talk about himself, let me talk about Don from a Seth and Morris standpoint. I do remember this. You may have not ever known this, Don, but you probably, trying to think, I'm pretty sure I got this right. If Morris was on the phone, he would vouch that you would probably be the first minister. Before I was even called to the ministry, you will be the first minister we ever heard listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire. And that really made us look at ministers as being cool. Now, you probably know that, but when we was young and you was pastoring, I think, in my hair, you're one of your first assignments, we remember liking to go to church. And that was something we weren't crazy about because, remember, Mama made us go to church all our life. So we weren't really crazy about no church. I think I was in a teenager. I may have been like maybe 14, 13. But I remember coming back from my hair and you was playing Earth, Wind, and Fire. And you were saying, it's okay to lift up the Lord. And, you know, as long as you play songs that don't, you know, glorify the devil. And we was like, I like that. You know, and that coming from a Pentecostal setting, that was a no-no. So that was the first impression you made on us about ministry being a good thing.
Well, I'd like to tap into that, Seth. You know, back in the day when I was in my early 20s and I had my first pastoral assignment, I was active ministering in the ME Church.
And I had my Elders Ordination when I was probably about 24. I started preaching, I think I was 22. And I didn't really want to be no minister because to me, ministry wasn't all that cool. But I knew that God had a purpose for me in my life. And I just, after running for a long time and coming into collision court for 3 hours, you can't get away from God. I went on and accepted, but back in those days, we did have a lot of fun. Seth, myself, and Eric, my brother, and Morris, and yes, we did listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire. Because I'm like this, I've come to the realization that all things that God has made is good. It's how you interpret or internalize it that makes it bad. Some people don't agree with that, and they just totally condemn secular music. But you have to understand, where did the music come from in the first place? It all comes from God. All good gifts come from God. How you use it and how you magnify it is a different thing. And since I've always been an avid lover of music, I just might as well tell the truth. I still like Earth, Wind, and Fire. And somehow they're known it and duly appointed.
Say that again.
I still like Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I'm, and one of my favorite statements is, I'm highly anointed and duly appointed.
I like that.
It may sound a little silly to some, but, you know, as ministers, we have got to come to the realization that we're dealing in the world of real people with real issues. And you have to be able to deal with different kind of people. And first of all, I'm Donald. The title of minister or reverend and the clergy status, I didn't ask for that. You know, God called me to preach. I just try to serve him to the best of my ability. And I think that if ministers would just be real with themselves and real with God, they would win more people. Because if we don't get caught up in self and learn how to love our fellow man as we do love ourselves, we would reach more people. I'm just trying to be as down to earth as possible. And I don't want to just build me up, but I will say that. When I started out, before I started out preaching, I always worked in the church, and I always knew I had a purpose in life, didn't know exactly what it was. And growing up in the Methodist Church there at Wesley Chapel on the north side, I was blessed to be able to hold a lot of youth offices. I was secretary of the Sunday school, and then I ended up being a superintendent's assistant. Though over the district, I was very involved, and God was just directing my life. But then when I got out of high school, I started singing in a group. I was asked to be a part of God's Young Messengers. And for about 2.5 years, we had a very prosperous group. It started out with 6 people. It was Beverly Wilson, Catherine Crawford, and some other people from the north side. George and Sandra Wellford were 2 of our very hardworking members, and we grew from 6 to about 16. And I had a chance to be involved with a lot of musicians around the city where I was, really a piano player. I'd always had the ability to sing and write songs.
Wasn't Isaiah Thomas one of them, right? Wasn't Isaiah Thomas one of them?
Well, I met Isaiah Thomas when I was with the Messengers, and we followed, I believe it was Alvin Pope to Los Angeles, and that's where we met Isaiah Thomas, when we became the best of friends. And eventually, I worked with him in the Peace Conference choir until its demise. So I've had a lot of exposure in gospel music, but Isaiah Thomas has been one of my great friends for a long time. He's Bishop Isaiah Thomas now. I always looked at him as a friend. But he's Bishop Isaiah Thomas. Uh-huh. And he's a pastor of the Breath of Life Ministries. Still active in ministry, one of the greater ministers of the city. He used to have Higher Touch Fellowship, but the name changed and they moved and it became Breath of Life Ministries. Now I'm personally active at the Glory World International Ministries, where the pastor, Roderick Bell, is the minister there.
Say the name again.
Roderick Bell is the pastor of the church where I attend.
Let me ask you something, Don. You mentioned Earth, Wind, and Fire earlier. What is your favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song?
You know, I got a lot of them. I really can't say the favorite, but it's one that says, Winter in the Storm is by far one of my favorites. Because I used to go up and down the highway and I'd stick the tape in, and then Winter in the Storm would keep me woke. Because I would have worked tonight, Winter in the Storm. Then, A Lover's Holiday. And then there's one that says, Wait. I've been waiting so long for you to come home. It's something about the romance in the song that makes that always appealed to me. Since I am a classic romantic, and I'm not ashamed to say, I think that if people would learn how to romance people more than just try to seduce people, they would get along with them a lot better.
Oh.
And I am open. Yes, sir.
I don't think I've heard of that one, Winter and the Storm. Winter and the Storm?
Mm-hmm. It's on one of the old albums. Winter and the Storm.
Wow.
It's a,
hey, so what's your favorite color?
Blue. It's my favorite color.
Sky blue?
Powder blue.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, I know they probably wonder why you always ask people's favorite color, because that's kind of as basic you as can be, a color. A lot of people don't know. You might have said black, flipped everybody out. But let me ask you this, Don. Who was your mentor coming up? I asked your mom the very same question.
You mean in ministry?
In ministry, out of ministry, before ministry?
Well, I can't say I really had a mentor. But if you are referring to where did I get my training, ministry-wise.
No. I mean mentor, just mentor, somebody that you look up to, you know.
Believe it or not, one of the persons that I looked up to was Mr. Otis Spears, who was, he was an older man in the Wesley Chapel Hillman Church. He sang in the choir, had a beautiful voice. And he got me my first job. And he always looked out for me. I respected him. His name was Mr. Otis Spears. We called him Dimp. He was the brother of the late Alberta Frazier.
Oh.
He was a great singer in his own right. But I looked up to Mr. Dimp because he always treated me with kindness. And I always respected a person that treated other people with kindness.
Let me ask you this. Now, you got kids, right? Because
yes,
a lot of people, I'm still trying to find a picture of you, man. You just don't take no pictures. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to, this clip right now, this audio clip, I'm going to put us, because everybody got a picture on their interview. So when they click on the interview in the future, they'll see pictures of you, at least two I hope to get from you. And they can,
oh, you will?
Yeah. And that way when they see, they'll say, oh, I know who Don Jr. is. Oh, yeah, because they listen to you now, some of them. We don't know who all's listening. We don't know who it is. And I'm not going to do like I did last week and go on the line and say, who is this? Because some people don't want, and it'll run them off. They won't listen next week because they'll say, yeah, come on your line. I'm not going to do that. So, but there are people listening, and there are going to be people listening in the future, and they're going to know who you are next time they see you at a musical, next time they see you at a banquet, next time they see you at a family meeting, next time they see you at a, hopefully not a funeral. They'll know that's, you know, Donald Jr. That's Reverend Shaw, whatever they call you. They'll know. And that's the whole purpose of what I'm trying to do, man. So, that's what is going on right now. So let me ask you another question. I always put it in your mind. You don't have to say it now. But what is it you want to say? Because really, Don, with this being archived, somebody can actually listen to this 6 months from now, and they probably will. You know, I know you're about to say, who will listen to me? Well, you'd be surprised. A lot of people won't listen to you. That's if you think that. Some people don't think that. You might think that. I don't know. But if you think that, in the future, trust me, it may be your own kids. maybe some cousins, maybe Eric. Yeah, I want to listen to see what Don was talking about. So what do you want to say to the family when you got them all listening? So don't answer it now. Just keep it in the back of your mind. Let me give you a heads up. Most of the time I just drop it on everybody. But I'm telling you, later on I'm going to ask you that question. So right now I want to go back to something else, and that's your childhood. We don't know much about you prior to ministry, prior to Reverend Shaw. I mean, coming up with Gerald, the mom, Northside, what do you remember? I'm going to try to name something, and you tell me what does it put on your mind when I bring up these names, okay? All right, I'm just going to name a name. I'm just going to say something. This is what I did with several people. And you tell me what it bring up in your mind, okay? The first word I'm going to give you, and I want you to tell me what pops up in your mind, is the North Side. What do you think of when you hear the North Side of Fort Worth, Texas?
Well, it takes me back to my upbringing when we were growing up, and we would be waking up by the fresh aroma of the packing house. Well,
you know what?
To know.
That's pretty good. I hadn't thought about that in a while. That was a pretty good answer. I didn't see that one coming. Yeah, and for those of y'all that's wondering what the packing house is, Don Jr. and Robert M. and Naomi and the whole North Side was right there by a packing house, a major packing house. Every time we would come over that bridge to see our cousins, we would be hit with this aroma. We used to ask this question all the time. Why do they want to live on the North Side? Why do they want to live on the North Side? But then as soon as you cross the bridge, you go away. It's the craziest thing. At least
the thing about the North Side was, with those meatpacking plants before it burned, that it was just the way it was. You could always knew when you was getting to the North Side, because by the time you got close to North Side Drive, that aroma would hit you. And that was just the smell of a meat processing plant.
Well, let me ask you this, because a lot of people don't know this, but this is actually an area called Cowtown in Fort Worth. I know it to everybody listening from Fort Worth, they probably think I could care less. But that actually used to be the place to be, right there, the ISIS Theater and all that. I remember we went to see me and Eric and Vince and went to see probably you. I don't know if you was with us or not, but we went to see across 110th Street. And
that's right, across 110th Street
and
with Antonio Fargas.
Yeah, and Live and Let Die, all at the same time. Two great movies all at the same time. I say great, it was a lot of killing, and it probably wasn't great, but it was great to us as kids. But, Don, let me ask you this real quick. Your brothers, your siblings, hit on them a little bit. Tell me a little bit about the siblings, because, again, when we find these photos of you, you know, because I'm thinking of people like DeMars, I'm thinking of people like, there's parts of this family that may not know you that well, and I want them to know exactly how you are. You know, I want them to know who Gerald is, and because that's just how I am, man. My mother just raised us like the six of us, and she used to have a saying, and she used to say it all the time: all you have is your family, all you have is each other. So I just try to live by it. I mean, you know, yes, family trips, yes, family. When they cut you, it hurts harder than when strangers cut you, because, you know, you don't expect family to do some of the crazy stuff they do. But in the end, I mean, you know, your family is your family, you know what I mean? And I do think sometimes friends can become closer than family. I do believe that. I must say that, you know. But speaking of your brothers and sisters, just go down the road and each one of them and just tell us a little bit about them if you feel like it.
Time went by so fast when we were growing up, but I love all my brothers equally. My oldest brother, of course, is Gerald, who he got nicknamed Joe Black. Gerald was always hard worker. He married Cynthia Davis, and he has two sons and one daughter, and he has a host of grandchildren, which his sons is Tyrone, Dimrick, which we call Dinky, and Peaches. This is his daughters, but they are adults. They all married, and he has grandchildren. He has about 3 or 4 grandchildren. But Gerald is still hardworking. He ain't changed. Talk with a heavy voice. Was always easygoing, quiet, but fun-loving. Then you had up under him was Eric. Most people don't know Eric because he was raised a lot with Carlos. He lived with Carlos and helped her with her 2 children, which was Rashonda and Derek. Now, Eric went to Paul Quinn College, and he graduated. And I think he finished from ODY, if I'm not mistaken. But he did go to Paul Quinn College. When he graduated with a business degree, he went into the Air Force, and he currently resides in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. He got out of the military, served with for a general for 4 years, and he works in the private sector in government, and he lives in the Netherlands. Then you have up under him with Vincent. Vincent lives across the street from my mom on Ellis in 29th Street. Vincent was a drummer in high school. We all were musically inclined. Vincent works in education. He's been here for almost 20 years. And he has one son who works right now. I'm not sure where he works, but I can't even think of that boy's name. But anyway.
Jared.
What's Vincent's son?
Come on, Jared.
Jared, yeah, Jared. I couldn't call his name. But Jared was raised primarily by mom. She stayed with mom. And so that's Vincent's son. But these are my first 3 brothers. Remember, there was Gerald, Eric, and Vincent. Then my last brother is Brick. And Brick, he works for the car dealerships in Arlington. And he's been married, and he has one daughter who, his name is Michaela, and we call her, well, I'm going to tell you what her nickname is because she may not want everybody to know. But anyway, these are my 4 brothers, Greg, Vincent, Gerald, and Eric, and they're all grown now with families of their own. But when we were coming up, mom raised us strict. Just like Irene raised you, Seth, and your brothers and sisters. And we had to abide by the rules. We were all raised up in church, but none of us have ever been in any major trouble. Our parents laid a great foundation for us. I thought she was real kind of too hard coming up as far as activities. Breck was athletic. And Vincent was into music. Gerald, he didn't do too much out of legs. Gerald was more of a quiet player type brother. And Vincent, like I say, he was into music, and I missed one. Eric was kind of laid back because he spent most of his time over there with Carlos when she lived in Fort Worth. One sister here, which is Carlos. And Carlos, as many of y'all know, her name was Carlos Brown, her married name. She worked for GD for a long time. And when she retired, she moved to San Antonio. She has one daughter, and she has about 3 grandchildren. No, she has 3 granddaughters and 1 grandson. She's doing well. She come out of retirement and started working for the school system there because she said she was a boy. She's an executive secretary, one of the best pianists you'll ever find, because Carlos was gifted as a pianist from birth. And she's kind of like a perfectionist, but the Lord has been very kind to my mother and her children because they've taken pretty good care of us over the years.
Okay, now you're pretty unselfish. Pretty unselfish. Rung the bell on everybody. Now I want you to get a little selfish, and I want you to talk about you almost exclusively. The question tonight, everybody, is who is Donald Jr.? Now you talk. I try not to
focus on me, but I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'm just gonna be very candid, and I'm just gonna be me. I'm misunderstood by a lot of people because they don't really understand the depths of my thinking. I have one image, which is the real me. And sometimes people say I play too much because I like to talk and have fun. As a minister, I take that very seriously. As a person, I try to treat everybody right. But I'm not perfect. I love children. I don't know why. They got my nerve, but I love them. And having been married for over 20 years, Marcia says, who is my wife's name is Marcia, she said I've been married 30 years. You know, I don't really believe all that. But as time goes by, you grow on a person. Either you grow close together or you grow apart.
You really been married 30 years for real?
That's what she said. I don't think so. It's too long for me. But anyway, I'm still hanging in here by the grace of God. And I have three sons who is, let me see what their name. I got Matthew. I have to think about it, you know, man. You know how it is when you get older, you know. You get old as time and good as wine. I got Matthew, Marcus, Mia, which is my daughter. I have an older daughter named Takesha Heron and two grandchildren. And I got one other son who is Martin. So I have three sons and two daughters. They're all out of school. I'm the proud grandfather of our two grand boys. One is a junior at Tech. And you say, focus on me. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about me. I like to write. I'm blessed with the ability to write poems. I've been doing it for years. And short stories. I minister to children. I have a group of kids that I work with every week. I call them my own Sunday school, but it's a group of kids who I used to keep when I was aspiring to be a foster parent. So I kind of adopted about 10 children who are the adopted children of one of my close friends, and I minister to them on a daily basis and a weekly basis.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir, I do that. And I don't tell everybody everything about me, and I do keep pretty much to myself because I'm limited in time. Working for the Crowley School District in special education, I'm exposed to children all the time. But that's just part of the things I do. I used to work in the trade in the trade show business, the building trades, and I learned a lot about that. And I've always loved singing. I've never been able to get that away out of my system. I like gospel music. I love gospel music. And I still sing whenever an opportunity presents itself. I've always wanted to be a good singer. And I wanted to be a great preacher because by divine revelation, God has shown me great things in ministry. And when I pastored, I learned a lot. And now that I don't pastor, I still learn more because ministry goes beyond the pulpit. Yes, sir.
Now on that tip, I want to do this. I want you to think about, since you just mentioned ministry, it's a lot of beef. A lot of people have issues with the church, you know. Whenever I mean, I ain't going to lie. That's why I ain't going to mention me. It's all about you tonight. But I want you to kind of give a reason for that. Or what do you have to say to people that, the ministers is at the bottom of their list, man. There's a whole lot of folks that don't respect ministry, don't respect church. I want you to think about it and think about what message you want to get to the family. But let's take a short little break. I want you to catch your breath, take something to drink because my throat is kind of itching. I don't want to cough in front of it on the mic. But I'm going to get something to drink, and I'm going to play one of your favorite songs, actually. And I want you to just take a little break and, again, think about that question because a lot of folk, they really ain't trying to hear no ministry. They and I don't want to speak for you, but I will love to know what you have to say about that. So when we come back, I want you to make a comment for those that have kind of given up on the church. They ain't trying to hear. They say they all out the money, including Donald Shaw. They might say,
you're
it. Man. I don't know. But when I come back, I want you to answer that question, and then what message you have to the family, among other questions, all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll be right back. And I want you to think about that. And here's one of your favorite songs. Check this out, everybody. It's one of Don's favorite songs.
If I kiss, if I held you tight in the morning light, yeah. Would you mind if I said how I felt in the lead tonight? Again, cause I never ever felt this way in my heart.
That play in the background. Again, we want to thank y'all for joining us for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is the show, the Book of Douglas Family and Friends Network. This is, we're spotlighting our guest tonight. Our guest tonight is the one and only Reverend Shaw. Some of y'all know him by Don. Some of y'all know him by Donald Jr. Some of y'all know him by. But he is in the house, enlightening us on who he is, and that is one of his favorite songs by Earth, Wind, and Fire, Love Holiday. Welcome back to the show, Don.
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
that's
sir.
That's your favorite.
I got to admit, brother, you got it down pat. And I ain't ashamed to say, yeah, that's one of my favorite songs. As I have forestated, Earth, Wind, and Fire is by far my favorite secular group.
Yeah,
but you
want to
ask me something about the...
Me and Marge, we're going to ask talk about church in a sec, but me and Marge trip out when, you know, you popped tape in coming from my hair. Because, you know, mom and them, and it ain't mom, it was Prayer, Faith, Temple, and the whole Pentecostalism. They had us scared to death of listening to songs. If they didn't have Jesus or God in it, we were trying to hear it. And so when you did that, that got us to thinking, got me to thinking at least. And I started understanding, even to this very day, I think I changed from that day to this day. And I realized that a lot of these songs, especially if they're talking about their wife, nothing wrong with them talking about, you know, what married people do. What married people do, because we don't want to explicit it, but I'm saying if he's talking about loving his wife, if he's talking about anything that don't violate the scriptures, it's totally all right. It's not. It's just like a person talking in a conversation. Are they talking about something that violates the scriptures? Then don't listen to that conversation. Are you reading something that violates the scriptures? Then don't read that. And the same as singing. Does it violate the scriptures? Then don't listen to it. But anyway, man, before we went to the break, I was asking you about the church. And, I mean, you know, if you can, don't make a sermon of it because we want to know more about you. But just what do you have to say to those people, in brief, if it's possible, that it's just fed up with the church and they all out the money, ain't none of them real, blah, blah, blah. You've heard it.
Well, this is my response. Don't look at the physical building or the people inside of it. First of all, the church is universal, unilateral, cross-cultural, international. The real church is not just the buildings that we go in. Now, the denominations and the different Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal movements that are what we define as the established church of this era have imperfections because people have imperfections. The church has to be operated as a business because God's business is business. He's in the business of transforming the unregenerate or the unbeliever into a believer by the testimonies of men and their lifestyles. But at the same point, religion and relations is different things. People look at the church in a very different way because the present-day church has become modernized and computerized. Your worship is not all beaten tambourines and wood buildings and the preacher come in and he hoop and holler and yell. People are more intelligent. They're looking for substance in ministry. So you got the person on the outside of the church to say, okay, I'm going to come here, but this don't look right. Something's wrong with this because they're asking for money. But do they look that behind that request for money is a need to support the business of the church? Then you got people who they are judgmental because they're coming to a congregation looking for salvation and they run into criticism or ostracism because they may or may not have that level of spiritual growth that the people on the inside of the church may or may not have. You got to look at it like this. People in the church are not perfect. They're nothing but sinners that have accepted God. All that say they have accepted God. The church is inside your heart. It's not just in the building. Oh, I've gotten upset with the politics of the church before because people can take power, and power brings on greed, and greed corrupts. And, you know, it's a cycle. Power and greed corrupts. But if power that's delegated by God and that's handled with diligence and with our humility has a tendency to produce positive results as opposed as a corrupt person. Do you follow me?
I follow you.
Okay, you got all the people that on the outside of the building, and they get upset because they look at some churches, and I'm just going to use this illustration. One of my favorite preachers is Jakes. And when I first went over to his church, I was impressed by the building. But what really impressed me, really, really impressed me, was his testimony of how he got where he was and where he came from. And I can bear witness that if God raised you up
It don't matter what people think about you. Because they hated Jesus. Everybody ain't going to like you. You got to go on with God. I'll take you as an example, Seth. You have a radio ministry that opens up a forum for people to enter to, to communicate and learn each other in the family structure. You keep it word-based. You keep it open. You allow me to tell you that I like Earth, Wind, and Fire. Well, some people say, man, you ain't nothing but a hypocrite. Listen to that worldly music. Who do you think created the musicians that had the skill to play that worldly music? Now, we're going to flip it. You take that same group of musicians, you put them in the church, and they start singing praises, and they put a different word base in their lyrics. Oh, they sound so good. What wonderful music. What's the difference? The word. So you got to learn how to be able to see what is right and what is wrong for you. Some people like the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church is not perfect because there are good people in the Baptist denomination and there's bad people. Bad people in the Methodist, bad people in the Pentecostal, bad people in all denominations. But the end result is through all of this, there are great people that God is raising up to do his will, to bring people to a closer walk with him, to bless people with their love. You should know them by their love. I didn't mean to preach. I'm sorry. You there?
I hear you. I'm letting you have a flow. I told you. It's all about you.
And, what I'm trying to say is a lot of people, they look at me and they say, man, you deep, Shaw. You deep. Because I like to write. And I look inside of a person because God gives me gifts of discernment. A lot of people don't believe in that. A lot of people don't believe that God gives you the ability to understand the intellect of other people. Well, if God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, if that same God that knows the hairs on your head can do all this, why come he can't give you, me, and our collective families the ability to become successful? It will put down greed. It will put down animosity. It will put down trying to judge other people and just be real with ourselves, and we grow inwardly with the help of the Lord, then when we go to our local churches, we won't look at that preacher's imperfection. We'll look at the word that's coming out that preacher or that pastor. And if that pastor has a fault, we'll take him privately and talk to him. We won't sit up there and try to control him or run the church because we haven't been delegated that office of leadership, but we have been given the right to be a support proudly for the leadership of the church, because the church don't run off of prayers alone. Prayers get to God. God opened doors. Money pays bills. God creates money.
Well,
I know. I mean, some people may, but it's okay. It's the truth.
Yeah, it's a lot of people and I got my own, just like you just testified and shared that. I can give you a part two to that, but a lot of that I definitely feel you on that, and I feel like the people use it as an excuse. They really don't want to submit to the Most High. I don't care what you say. If somebody really want to get to the Most High, believe you me, they're not going to let no preacher stand in the way. A lot of times they need that excuse. They need to blame somebody for not doing right, and you know they always say, well, the church is this and that. They need that. They need that excuse, and that's what I believe. But let's move on. And remember, in the back of your mind, I want you to, before you close out, I want you to give us what message you have to the family. If you got it now, we will take it. Or otherwise, I'm going to ask you a few more questions.
Well, I can tell the family this. The Book of Douglas family has a great lineage. In this extended family, there are people with great talents and great skills. We come from strong stock. Our forefathers who laid the foundation of the family, they all come up through some tough times, but they all were survivors. All of the women in the family are strong. The men are strong. But the only thing that has come up against the family is the curse of rebellion. Rebellion, when it comes to rebelling against God, rebelling against the unity of the Spirit. I think if the family extended would try to accept people for who they are And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but try to accept people for who they are. Pray for those that are in fault, and don't look down on your brother. Pick him up. If you can pick him up, help him. If you can share some good news, give it to him. Don't look down on him. Even if you have to pray from a distance, a phone call every now and then, how you doing? I love you, brother. You know, when you see somebody you ain't seen in a long time, greet them with a hug. If they don't want you to hug them, just say, it's good to see you, and mean it. You know what I'm saying? Because people are dying daily. Our lives are short-lived because we're living in the last times. Our generations are passing on. Here I am. I had a birthday on the 10th of this month, and I got grandchildren. I'm blessed to be alive, but I've seen over 10 or 15 of my classrooms, class members that are gone. So take every day, like someone told me, my brother, he sent me an email, and he said, live every day like it's your last. And don't waste time, because time is one thing you can't get back. You know what I mean, sir?
Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That's very strong. Very strong. Let me ask you this, Don. In that way, hold on. Is that it? Is that your whole word you got to the family?
No, I want the family to look inside, because we have been ordained to be greater than what we are. We are leaders. The Bookers are leaders. The Douglases are leaders. We are gifted. We cannot sit on our gifts. If you can play, teach, sing, build, whatever your skill, work it to the fullest. Don't get caught up in the hoopla of what the devil has to offer, which is wasting time and living in regret. Whatever you failed with, start over again, because God will make a way. God loves us. He loves us. He loves me, and he loves you. No matter what, we can make it with the help of the Lord. You have another question for me, sir?
I appreciate that. Let me ask you this. Now, you talked a lot about Donald Jr. as the adult. A lot of people don't know that you did spend time with Azalee Booker. What do you remember about your grandma or grandpa?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. Big Daddy was a cold man. We called him, Caleb Booker was Big Daddy Booker is what we called him. That's when he was living over there on Marion Street on the south side. And he was married to Miss Jeanette. I'll tell you one thing about him. He was a tough dude. And I remember him before he passed. He died of cancer, but I remember him before he passed. He was a strict disciplinarian, and some of his grandchildren look just like him. Some people say I favor him. Now, and he could cook, too. He was a real good cook. Mama loved him. But I'm going to tell you about Big Mama. Azalee Williams is the coldest grandmother anybody could ever have. She loved all of her grandchildren. And she spent time with us all. She gave us more love than what money could buy. And one of my favorite things that I remember about her was being able to go home after church, watch 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, Tarzan would come on. She loved Tarzan. And I would sit with her in the living room on Ross Avenue and watch Tarzan of the Jungle. She loved to see Tarzan. That's when Johnny Weissmuller was playing Tarzan and Lex Barker. She always had a good pot of greens or red beans. And no matter what she had, it wasn't much, she would always share it with her grandchildren. She could even wring the neck off a chicken with a heartbeat. I know some people don't believe that. But she loved her grandchildren.
I remember the love. I do remember the love. It wasn't a whole lot of time spent, but it's two people. It's two women, I should say, that I can. Well, actually, I'm gonna say three women. Of course, my wife, but my mother and my grandmother is the only two women that I could say that is never partial to their opinion about me. Maybe my daughter, she'll tell me the truth, too. But, I mean, I remember Big Mama really looking at her. I ain't going to say who it was. We pulled up one time in front of Big Mama's house, and somebody said, take them kids, because we had a whole lot of kids. And we pull up, somebody hollered, take those kids. They were just joking.
They said, take those kids back home. There's too many of them. And I remember Big Mama really chewed this on out. And she was just playing, you know, it's just that's just how we, I think, live. But she just was really, I remember that when she used to be hanging up clothing. And me and Mars would be there sometime. I remember me and Mars, for whatever reason, I remember a whole lot of one-on-one encounters with Big Mama. But I do remember out there in the backyard hanging up clothes, and she'd had us to do these little chores, and she would talk to us sometime. But I remember that. But it's not about us, about you. Let me ask you this before time run out, because I got, 10:50? We got 9 minutes, 33 seconds. I want to ask you this. You said you don't remember Caleb Booker that much. You just remember he was fine. Correct?
Caleb was a strong man. One thing I can say.
Let me say this, Don, because I actually just thought of something. I saw, and I actually wrote down something I didn't ask you. Well, it's a comment. I didn't mention this, and I got to mention this, otherwise I'd be mad at myself. I have one bone to pick with you. You remember Mama used to make you pies all the time on your birthday?
Yeah. She gave me my first birthday party that I remember.
Really? Dad used to really bug us, man. No, it bugged me that you would drive over there every birthday and she had picked you a cake. What a bone I had to pick with you.
Well, I'll tell you why you had that bone.
Man, how did he get a cake every birthday?
We was born on the same day.
Mama really loved. This is something we heard all our life. Mama always talked about Carlos. She always talked about. She had something good to say about everybody on that north side. Believe that. Just between me and you, believe that. She always had. She mentioned almost everybody that we know, she has something good to say about everybody. And I remember her favoring, it seemed like she favored you, but then she would talk about Carlos a lot. And then she would talk about Roland, his old black self. She would talk about how she really loved her Roland. So I just want to share that with you. Go ahead.
If this call may drop because I got it. If it do, I'm not trying to be rude. But I'll tell you about it. Are you there?
If it drops, just call me back. As long as you come back before 11, you're fine. If 11 hits, you won't be able to call me back. But we got 7 minutes. It may hold up until then. But if it drops, just call me back, okay? But go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, Irene loved all her sister's kids. And I don't know, you know, some people may or may not felt like she did, but she did. She always was good to me because we were born on the same day. My birthday, February the 10th, Irene's birthday, February the 10th. And so we had a good time together. And I remember that I was one of few. I would tell my boys that we come over there to the projects and we sit down and chill, and I never would be bothered. And I walk over there in the rough neighborhood, but I said, I'm going to see my Irene because she had that kind of influence. But she was always good to everybody else. Because she was just a big-hearted person. And I know sometimes it made you all mad. But, boy, she believes in going to church. I can tell you that. I mean, because at Proud Faith Temple, Sister Irene had it going on. And me and Marsh Green, we crack up sometimes talking about how y'all would walk from the projects all the way over there to Sylvania to church. But you take the shortcut, go up there by the rec center, and by the back roads, but one thing about it, her light shined out, and I respected that.
Listen, Don, I'm going to ask you about two more questions. We're going to wrap this up. But listen, I want to thank you, man. I told you it was going to be fun. You know, I'm sure a lot of people learned a whole lot of things about you, especially early in the call when you was going through all the different things with the ministry and the group she was in. I didn't know a whole lot of that. So hopefully young people listening to this and everybody that's going to be listening to it in the future will learn from Donald Jr. tonight. Okay, so folks, this is the man. This is the man. Y'all heard it from his straight from his mouth. Before I ask you these final questions, I just want to remind everybody next week we're going to do the same stuff again. We're going to, first part of the show, talk about the future, talk about what happened last week, talk about birthdays, anniversaries, just anything that y'all want to call in with. even scriptures, call in with your meetings, anything going in the family. That's the first hour. We want to talk about what I call the first hour is devoted to the future. We talk about what's going on now and the future, okay? And then the second hour, we look at the past. We spotlight someone and look at the past and what has happened in the past. So, again, the first hour, we talk about the future, events, birthdays, you know, who just had an anniversary or whatever. So y'all call in with that. Just reminding everybody. And then next week, we got Amos is going to be on and Linda is going to be on talking about Monroe. As you know, Amos did last show, was very good. Next week is going to be Monroe's hour. The spotlight is going to be on Monroe. Well, Monroe is not here. Of course,
Monroe Howard, yes, sir.
Monroe Howard is going to be here by way of his brother, who know him probably better than anybody, and his daughter, Linda. So that's going to be a nice show. But I just want to thank you, Don, for coming on for real, man. I mean, this has been real. You brought up all kind of memories and things I didn't even know. But let me... if anything else you want to talk about, be sure and comment now. Otherwise, I got a couple more questions, then we're going to wrap this up, okay?
Okay. I just want all the members, if you got talent, don't sit on it. Use it. Use your talent. Young people, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever line of work you're in, do it for the glory of God. I was blessed to be on two live recordings, and I was blessed to have at least 2 to 3 television experiences in my early 20s, and it was something I'll never forget. And I want to remember that even when Mars Wayne was dancing with the Soul Trotters, that's a long time back, the Soul Trotters, we were still doing good things for God. What's your question, Doc? This phone's going to drop.
Okay. You had mentioned something about a picnic. Not a picnic. I don't like that word. You mentioned something about a gathering in the summer. And did you want to elaborate on that? Something you wanted to do for the family this summer? Something you want to start?
Yeah, I think it would be nice if the extended family could think about having a picnic in the park or something, or like a production. We could all kind of come together and put our ideas together. I haven't got it all together. I know that Donna used to do a summer picnic all the time and done a great job of that. So I know to take a little of the weight off of her, if we can maybe get 2 or 3 people to come together and coordinate a big book of family event, it would be great. And you never know what good can come out of it. We all got our email addresses. It's just easy to up on email or call. And my number is 817-370-8838. And I can be reached, or if you can call Marcia, who is my wife, if I'm not here, ask for her. Just hit me on email, and I hit you back.
Okay, real quick. Anybody want to ask Donald Jr. call? Anybody want to comment in the chat room, or anybody want to ask a question on the phone lines, especially on the phone lines? There's several of y'all on the phone lines. Otherwise, I'm going to pick one of y'all. I'm not going to pick. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I see a number I think I'm familiar with. So there's one person I think I can pick on. Hold on 1 second. Area code 817-500. 817-500, are you there?
Yes. What's going on, Big Don?
What's up, man? It's got to be none other than Mars Dwayne himself.
On the side of the track, no bamboozle, Hoot Wayne Bushwag.
Look at him. You know what?
He fly like a bird and sting like a bee. You on sometime and never know who he is. But he
That's
is what he is, and a deal is a deal. That's all I had to say. Just had to holler at y'all.
All right, man. Well, I knew he had something to say to you. But listen, Don, I know you got to go. You got a lot going on tomorrow. I just want to thank you again for coming on the show, man. I really learned a lot about you, believe it or not. And I'm sure anybody else listening going to appreciate the things you said. You did a lot of encouraging. You gave a good word to those against the church. You did it all, man. So, and also, while everybody's listening, I want Don or Mars or anybody listening to also do what I'm doing right now and host the show where it won't look like the Seth show because it's really not my show. So, Don, this is to you in front of everybody. I'm asking you to please consider hosting the show in the future, and I would love to see y'all's talent because I know y'all may have it better than I do.
Well, I accept the invitation, and in the near future, I'll do my best to facilitate that. I want to thank you, Seth, for considering me. I didn't think I could do it, but I thank you very much for giving this opportunity to share with the family about my life experiences. God's been good to me.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap that up. And, Don, again, I want to thank you, man. And I'm going to go ahead and mute you for now. But we'll talk later. And, again, thanks. Appreciate everything. And any last words before I put you on hold and we'll go out with a song?
I just want everybody to remember that God loves you. If someone tells you they don't love you, don't matter. God loves you. And I love you, too. That's it.
All right. Thank you, my brother, my cousin. All right, everybody, that was Donald Shaw. Before y'all go, I want to play this little funky song because only Don and I and like-minded believers like us can appreciate this kind of music. So anyway, check this out, and y'all have a blessed night. And remember, I love every single one of y'all, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Check this out. This is by a group called Natural 7. This is a gospel group, actually. The words will prove that, okay? This is a gospel group. Check it out.
Oh, Lord.